This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to the encore presentation of part two of my chat with Safira Kristal, taped in 2020 in the silent days of the pandemic, with special guest returning co-host Katya Zamolodjikova.
Make believe, let's not pretend, we might be ill, but we're on the mend. It never starts, it never ends. Welcome to Craig and Friends. Welcome to Friends. Welcome to Craig and Friends.
What snack are you having? I just had a couple chips.
I have chips. I have granola bar, crunch, peanut butter. I got
solid. Cookie?
Pecan swirl.
Oh, yeah. Those are a fun time.
The cream oatmeal cookie.
I've gotten to like a donut addiction during this time.
I'm really watching my weight, so...
Well, that's the very specific diet that
you're watching
out, right?
It go like watching it rise and fall.
I'm watching it rise. No, not much falling, but
my brother, who used to be 300 pounds, I saw him Christmas. He was like, I was 300 pounds when you saw me. I was like, really? I couldn't tell because we hold our weight well in my family.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
how much is he now?
220 something pounds.
That's a big difference.
That's a major difference.
Big difference. How tall is he?
He's 6 feet.
Yeah, that's a that's a big difference.
Yeah, he's 6 feet. You know, I don't even know what it looks like because he just calls me and tells me that this has happened because he's doing intermittent fasting. And I tried it one day and I was like, I'm not doing this shit. I like to eat. So I'm gonna eat. Yeah. It's coronavirus. I don't have time for this.
What is intermittent fasting again?
One of the best ones, or one of the ones that people usually start on, is like you eat 8 hours, you fast for 16 hours. Eat 8 hours, fast for 16 hours.
And Brian, that's not eat 8 hours continually, by the way. So if you want to try it, I wouldn't recommend doing that. You're waving your finger in disapproval for those of you not.
So out of 8 hours, there's only 8 hours of the day that you can eat. And then for 16 hours, you don't eat.
Oh, well, I mean, you're sleeping 8 of those at least, so.
Yeah, so it's like, it's not that much. You just don't eat.
It's a monk schedule. That's what they do.
Yeah, but now he eats every other day.
Oh, I couldn't do that. No, I couldn't
No.
So his eating days are Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday.
How is that possible?
And Saturday.
Wow. How is that possible?
He does it.
No smoothies or anything? Just like what? Water, tea, whatever?
I think he just drinks water all the rest of the time. Wow. I think it's because you can, once you do the intermittent fastings and you just sort of like extend the fasting time.
Yeah, sure.
And then it becomes like a day that you don't eat and then a day that you do eat. And
Mary, that's too much.
I think he's doing that throughout his weight loss journey, and then the rest of it's going to be maintaining. So he's like, I want to go down to 175, see what that looks like, and maybe come back up to 180, maybe 2, and then just then maintain, because he just wants to see what his body feels like in those places. As of last year, I actually was like 165 pounds, and then I was like, I need to gain some muscle. Like, I need to figure this out. And then I broke up with my partner of like four years, 4.5 years. Yeah, in like December of 2018.
Uh-huh.
And my other partner of 2.5 years in in December of 2018 as well. So I was like in a throuple and then we dissolved.
Are these banking throuple. Partners or?
It was a law firm.
Okay. Yeah. Right.
Some corporations just don't make the cut.
Yeah. Ruby, Sapphire and Crystal. Yeah.
Ruby, Sapphire and Crystal.
Was it hard getting over that four-year relationship?
Yeah.
Let me ask you something. I have a very, I came up with this cockamamie rule that I have no experience to base it on. However, so I feel that for every year you're in a relationship, when it ends, especially if it ends badly, you're allowed 1 week of mourning about it, bitching and moaning about it to your friends.
Oh, I didn't do any of that. I just moved away. I moved farther away into the north of Philadelphia, and now I live even further north, and I don't see anyone at all.
Okay, well, that's one way to do it. And Brian, I think that that's an equation that I think I've heard in other formulations where it's like for every year you're with someone, it's going to take you X number of months to get over them or something.
It takes years to get over those.
Right, years. But you can't talk about it at brunch for years.
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah. All of us dealt with it in different ways. And my way to deal with it was just to talk to my therapist about it.
Hello. Thank you.
Now, currently, Brian's way to deal with this is to show off a very fashionable, glamorous leg.
Well,
that package came in and she said, I stoned these sides.
As you know, Safira, I mean, because from our days back in Boston, you know, I've been pigeonholed as a look queen since day one. And
And people, really?
I
was doing a lot of drugs. You're right.
I'm joking.
But when she tried to break into comedy, people were like, no. You're a look queen. Just stand there and look pretty.
All we want is the legs. We want to see those legs. We want them long and shiny. That's all we need.
Yeah. Glamour from you. Keep the comedy to someone else. Yeah.
They said they wanted glamour, but she was like, what about?
How about a cat box that I dig out of? How about that? Yeah. Trixie just texted you what?
Please look at my jugs. Because I didn't respond to her. I didn't respond to her earlier text, which is this. She looks great. But it's funny. I don't think of her as sexy woman. Sure. I think of her as flawless creature.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very accurate. Would you fuck that? Would you fuck this? Would you slide that dick between the titties?
Are you asking me?
I'm asking both of you.
I mean, who knows? Who knows these days?
Yeah, who knows? Gingham.
Having any sex with any person in months, maybe immediately. Yes, who knows if that was presented to me as a realistic option. Yeah, but what about cooking food? Do you cook stuff, Safira? Because I'm terribly behind on... I cook for a while and then I get really lazy and I don't. And then it's like whatever. Like, oh, egg salad. I'll have that a bunch or I'll have this a bunch.
I'm guessing you didn't bottom anytime near the time that you had the egg salad.
I'm not eating a lot of egg salad. I'm just trying to pick things that people can relate to, okay?
It's like from Big Top Pee Wee. I made your favorite. Egg salad. Oh, God.
I went vegan for the month of May. Wow. And that was very exciting. I'm from Texas and I'm a big meat eater. Like,
sure.
I'm borderline carnivore. Uh-huh. And so I did it because my best friend, Honey Davenport, is a vegan. Well, she was a vegan at the time. She's like more of a vegetarian now.
Sure.
But mostly vegan. And I think my boyfriend was like, hey, I want to go vegan for this time because he was having a difficulty with eating meat and just like, and I was like, I think I want to go vegan for different reasons because I wanted to figure out if I had a sensitivity to dairy. Uh-huh. And so I wanted to take all the dairy out of my diet. And I was like, well, since I'm doing that, I might as well just take all the meat out of my diet and see how it goes. And it was fine. I am a very, 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 very talented cook. And
how talented?
Honey, bitch, honey,
Julia Child, who?
People want to marry me after I cook for them. That is like a true statement.
There you go. Just like Brian. Brian just loves to cook. Yeah.
I don't love to cook. I'm just so good at it that I have to.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I would rather cook stuff at home because sometimes I go to restaurants or I order out and I'm like, I could have made this and not spent nearly as much money. Like, I could have made it several times. I could have made this way and then made this way. And now I would have had like three different meals from one package of meat. Or
you could have gone into the kitchen and made it at the restaurant for yourself.
I could have. I actually and have then- before. But that was me working. So I guess it didn't really, I didn't make it for myself. I was actually making it for someone else. And then I ate it and then I got fired. But
did you ever make a carbonara?
Ooh, those legs, girl. No, it wasn't chicken carbonara.
Oh. It was, is bacon in carbonara?
Yes.
Yeah.
Bacon grease. Bacon and bacon grease. You have to. It's like a start of,
Now, when I had my ulcer in London, I thought that you were supposed to eat heavy foods, which was a complete fucking mistake.
So who told you that?
Some old wives' tale. I did not research it properly. I'd never had an ulcer before. So I'm getting all this heavy stuff. And what I'm doing is creating more problems for myself, which led to me being in absolute agony. But the good thing is in England, they will send the like emergency. They'll send it to your place. So that's the great thing about the NHS, which apparently isn't possibly going to get fucked up now. But anyway, who needs to talk about depressing?
They'll send it to your place?
Yeah. When you call the emergency, they send doctors to your Airbnb or wherever you're staying. And they come in and they gave me an EKG and all this stuff. And it turned out I'd just been eating all the wrong stuff for the ulcer. So I was in a whole state of misery and disarray. But then I figured it out.
And embarrassment, huh?
Yes, that's right. A lot of embarrassment. There was a lot of embarrassment going on.
All I've been doing is eating tomato sauce and orange juice and pasta.
No,
and
I stayed away from acidic stuff, but I thought that for some reason...
And jalapeno
heavy things,
peppers.
No, it was ice cream and pasta carbonara. It was a really bad move. Yeah, because I got the...
Oh, I think you were thinking of all the bases. You were thinking, oh, this is base heavy.
Yeah, that's exactly. And I was completely wrong. And had I done any research, I probably would have figured that out. But, you know, being new to ulcers. But thankfully, that all got sorted out. But then I couldn't...
You didn't Google that shit?
No,
was Google not
a thought,
thing?
You know, listen. No, Google wasn't around then in January.
This was 87. So,
yeah. It was a recent development. So now I'm hip to that, thankfully. And the British people showed me that because I guess that had just come to London. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which helped.
They're like, I've never heard of Google.
Yahoo, definitely, but Google, I don't know.
Yeah, GeoCities wasn't giving me the information that I needed. And then AOL, similarly. Yeah, I couldn't get anything in the chat rooms that helped. So,
About Ask Jeeves? You could have just asked Jeeves.
Oh, shit, you're right. Well, listen, you know, hindsight's 20/20.
You just have to ask him questions.
Yeah, and I could have been helped out then. But then it all got sorted out.
Does that still exist, though?
They're the sponsor on this episode, yeah. Oh, Brian's showing us pictures. Look at that. Look at that.
Who is she?
Who is she?
I want you to tell me who is she.
Who does she think she is?
Who is she? How much does she cost?
Oh, I think if you have to ask, you can't afford it. Right?
Yes, ma'am.
If you have to ask, you can't afford it. Lingerie. Yeah.
No, let's get back in. Let's get back into music because you're quite a skilled singer and performer. When did you first get into singing? Like what age?
Ah, oh, shit.
Hello, darling.
Probably 10, no, maybe 8 or 9.
And do you remember what it was that sort of drew you into it? Was there a performer or was there a show or anything in particular?
So when it comes to opera, when I was a little kid, like maybe 3 or 4, my parents took me to go see La Boheme. We had this sort of like, what's it called?
Amphitheater?
Yeah, like an amphitheater. We had an amphitheater outside. And my parents took me to go see La Boheme by the there was this black opera company, and I'm just really blanking on their name in Houston, and they did La Boheme, and I was like legs straight out because I'm a little kid, just like enthralled. Every other child is running up and down the aisles. It's just like, blah, blah, blah. And I am silent as a motherfucking mouse. Like, what the hell is happening on stage? This is amazing. I love everything about it. And so all my life, I've always like had opera going on in my head and had like those things happening. And one day I just started like putting it out in my out of my mouth.
I mean, at some point, you just got to start to put it out your mouth.
Put it out your mouth.
When you're feeling it and it's in you, just you got to put it out your mouth. That's all.
It's like, is something you want to share with the class? Put it out your mouth.
Put it out your mouth.
Is there something you feel deep inside? Put it out your mouth.
I love that. That's it. That's the one.
When I was in middle school, we had music classes in middle school. I went to private school. It was an all-black private school, a small all-black private school in my neighborhood.
Religious? Was it religious?
It wasn't like a Catholic school or anything. Okay. It got expensive. It wasn't initially expensive enough for them not to put me there. So I was there for a while, but then it was like $400 a month. And so then it was like, my parents were like, we got to take you somewhere else because that's too much fucking money.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And we always had a Black History Month production. And for the Black History Month production, 1 year, I mean, I was always in the choir. I was always doing that kind of thing. And 1 year they had me sing Hold On. You know that song, Hold On,
Wilson Phillips?
Change is Coming, by the Sounds of Blackness?
Or Wilson Phillips. Sure, Brian.
Yeah. Or Wilson Phillips, yeah.
Either one, yeah. Yeah.
One day somebody's going to turn around and go, yeah, that one, right?
Yeah, that one. That one. That's
very
the one.
Very relevant to Black folks in history.
Very relevant to Black culture and Black history.
That's pivotal.
It is the quintessential
cultural reset.
Black anthem just above Lift Every Voice and Sing. So I ended up singing Hold On, and I just was like, oh, I like to sing. And I don't really remember a lot of that time because, I don't know, I was in church a lot and singing. I joined the choir in church, and I was the only child in our choir. I went to church at the same church that Beyonce and Kelly and like a lot of Destiny's Child went to my church. I know LaToya and Beyonce and Ashley from Girls Time all went to my high school as well, which was the High School for the Performing and Visual Arts in Houston, Texas. It was fun. So I ended up doing that. And then the next year, I ended up going to all these different, to another charter school. Mm-hmm. I got into a lot of fights in that school. So my my private school became a charter school. So I ended up going back to that school. And there, a good friend of mine who also has a podcast, his mother was our music teacher that year, and she also went to my high school, and she was just very pivotal in like inspiring me and encouraging me to be in music. And she needed someone to sing Wade in the Water, and she was trying to get a good soulful sound, and I can't do it now, but I like threw my voice down to the back of my throat to create this like operatic tone, and I was just like, Wade in the water, Wade in the water, children. And she was like, yeah, like that. So whoever had that solo lost the solo because I just started singing it. And she was like, well, that's what I want. So now you don't have the solo. Now you have it.
Chopped. Here you go.
Yep. As simple as that. Chopped I just like, mopped. I was like, you wanted something like that. And she was like, yes, that's exactly what I want. So now you have it. And after that, she sort of really encouraged me to, she stopped working at the school because she couldn't stand it. And she was a parent at one of those, at the school as well. So as both a parent and a teacher, you're just like, I know what's going on here. This is bullshit. I'm done. She encouraged me to go to my high school and got me the application and brought it to me and was like, here, apply to the school. My mom went to the school and said, you know, I thought that this was going to be some bullshit, but this is actually a really good school. So I think you should go to that. This is the kind of school that you would thrive in. And I did. I learned that not only was there music in my head, but I could write it down. And then I ended up going to the Eastman School of Music for composition and not voice. But I studied voice while I was there as well. And the same thing at Longy.
Where was Eastman?
Eastman is in Rochester, New York.
Okay, so that's what brought you to Rochester.
Yeah, I went to the Eastman School of Music in Rochester, New York. And I studied composition with a vocal music was my, or vocal performance was my, you always had to have a major instrument.
Okay. So you would be very qualified to answer this musical question. Is it true that music makes the people come together?
Yeah. And it actually makes them all do a circle jerk. And for some reason, everyone comes everywhere. It's like a shower of cum.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Right. Okay. So you can rejoice in the shower. These are the lyrics that Madonna left out because they were just, it was too real.
It's too quoted. Yeah. It's too, I get it now.
Yeah. Okay. She had to soften the edges.
Music makes the people come together.
Right. We weren't looking at it through the right lens. Yeah.
Double entendre.
Yeah, not music makes the people come together. It makes the people come together.
At the same time.
There you
on
go.
On each other.
See, and now we're learning about the importance of emphasis.
Yeah.
You've heard of the brown note, but have you heard of the white note?
Hello. Very bourgeois. Very rebellious. Need I say more?
Very rebellious.
Was your first time in drags in Rochester, or were you doing that in Houston as well?
Well, I started drag in Rochester, but in Houston when I was in high school, I did, you know, try drag out as because I loved great opera singers. And my favorite opera singers were the women like Leontine Price and Jesse Norman. And
what about Renee Fleming?
For Halloween one year. Huh?
Renee Fleming?
She went to Eastman.
Really?
Okay. Oh, what do I think of her?
Rotted bitch, stuck up hoe. No, I'm just kidding.
No, she's very close.
She's good.
She's very close to a lot of close people in my life. But
she's good.
She's good. She's a good singer. She has talent. I think that every voice is different, and some people don't like her voice. Some people don't like what she does with her voice. It's more what she does with her voice that people don't like, and less of
what
her
that voice do.
But that voice do a lot. She's big on straight tone right now, which is a lot of people have like issues with that.
It's too straight. It's too heterosexual, and therefore hateful. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, she wants that tone. She wants that tone not to be gay at all, honey.
No faggots in this opera. Yeah.
No, she's big on straight tone, which is like the like no vibrato, no. Okay.
No pizzicato, no detaché. Where's the Allegra?
No attaché case. You're not carrying anything with you.
What the fuck are you talking about, girl?
Musical terms.
Yeah, these are musical terms. Please.
Oh, I thought you were talking about pharmaceuticals.
No.
Allegra is a pharmaceutical.
Your vibrato sounds
Allegro.
Like pizzicato.
Allegra is a pharmaceutical. Allegro is a musical term.
Allegro. Right. Allegra is antihistamine.
It was sort of the Viagra tone. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Viagra tone. What's that Viagra tone? You need to just turn it down.
She had this sort of sildenafil sort of cast to her sound. Yes, the timbre was in a touch. A little touch of methylphenidate.
You know too much about these pharmaceuticals.
I know. I was like, you're even losing me here. That's scary. Sathira, I have a question. Wait, I want to, before I forget, I don't want to forget to ask you. What do you think gives you the right? And also, how dare you?
Those are the questions. Well,
I'm glad you didn't forget.
Thank you for that question. Yeah. My name is Sapir Cristal. I am contestant number one. And
yes,
I think that my God-given right is what gives me the right. I have the right to be, to see, to love, to drag a bitch down anytime she tries to come for me. And so I think that's what gives me the right. What was the second question again?
How dare you?
And I very dare, because come here, bitch, and I'll show you.
All right, great. Because that's contestant number one in the pageant.
Also, fuck this pageant.
Yeah. Have you ever, did you compete a lot in pageants? You beat Ashley Michelle. So did I in a pageant. I was in a blackout.
In my house, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 crowns.
I don't have any crowns.
Not with me. I have 1, 2, 3. Well, I have about 10, 11 crowns.
We don't need to brag. I'm not interested. I wasn't.
Yes, I've done lots of pageants.
A yes or no.
I'm actually the current reigning Miss America.
Miss 2020. What?
Miss America, the one with the D. M-I-S-S apostrophe D America.
So she missed America by how much?
By at least 5 inches.
My favorite thing is the pageant terminology of at large to signify plus size. Like editor at large, the killer is still at large. Like that's what that means. You know what I mean? Or, it's amazing.
At large or well, that's only for one thing. They have at large, then they have elite.
Elite is old, which I love.
Yes. And then the other one is plus.
Plus makes sense.
Plus makes sense. But I forget.
But not at
only
large.
One of them has elite. The other one's like
Continental, I think, has elite.
Continental right? Elite. I think it's US of A. Old bitch.
US of A at large.
It's US of A at large, but it's
Misery tried to do that a few times.
Yeah, it's US of A at large, but I forget what their older con, like their older contestants is called. I don't think it's Elite.
It's US of A. What is it?
Old bitch.
Yeah, old, nasty, crusty, dirty. Corpse. Yeah. I don't know.
US of A corpse at large.
US of A in memoriam. That's what it would be.
US of A morgue. US of A.
US of A hospice palliative.
Classic. It's called classic.
Classic. Great. That's a great euphemism. I prefer elite, but.
I like elite too.
Because classic could just be like, you know, the twist. Whereas elite is like, you know.
Try it, bitch. I've already won the first one. Now it's time for me to win this one.
Yes, when was your first time in drags performing?
It was in Rochester. I was at Mother's Club, which is no longer around. But it was for Kyla Minx's, what do you call it? Chicken and Waffles show. That's what her show was called, Chicken and Waffles. And it
was brunch?
No.
Oh, okay.
She was like, no food. It was at a bar, and it was called Chicken and Waffles. Welcome to Kyla Minx's Chicken and Waffles. And she would have a lot of newer girls come and perform. And I was like, I want to do your show. I was hanging out with a lot of drag queens. There's this queen named Anel Pleasures. Do you know her? She lives out there.
No.
In the area, Anel Pleasures. Mm-hmm. Anel Pleasures. Mm-hmm. And she, I hang up with her and a group of friends a lot. And there was this queen named Delicious in Rochester. And
first name D, last name Licious?
No, her full name was just D. Just like man. Beyonce. Just Delicious. And she was the first queen that I saw and just was like, oh, I want to do this.
Yeah. Mm.
And she was a trans woman. She is a trans woman. And she was on that. She got on that stage. And I was just like, this.
You would think
that my fraternity brother, who was a drag queen and a very famous drag queen in Rochester, would have inspired me to do that. But she was a cunt. So it didn't really make me want to do that. So But when I saw Delicious on that stage, I was just like, this is what I want to do. So one day I saw her and I was like, will you be my drag mother? And she used to always squeeze my ass and molest me until that day. And then I asked her to be my drag mother and all of that stopped.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
She was like, I'll be your mother. She was like, you're going to be beautiful. And then her whole like demeanor just changed about me.
Yeah.
It was just lovely. And I looked just like my mom when I saw myself for the first time. I actually looked up because she was just painting me, and I looked up and it scared me because I didn't expect to see my mom. And I have like a resting bitch face. I just like
you do, yeah. I like, but I mean, not like that. Looked, you just did something. Do it again with your what you just did. I feel like you have resting diva face in drag.
Well. That's developed, but originally I just had, as my friends used to call it, angry black man face, where I just didn't have any expression on my face. And I just would be just like, so I just like wasn't paying attention. And I looked up in the mirror because she had finished a good portion of my face and it looked like my mom was just like,
that's so creepy.
And I was like, oh, wow. I look like my mom. This is wild. I look so much like my mom that when she saw a picture of me, she said, damn, you look like me.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah.
So your mother was a drag queen too?
Yes. She was the original drag queen in my family.
How much did she wear a lot of makeup?
No, she didn't. No.
Because you don't do like crazy stuff. You just work with what you got.
Yeah. Because and she even inspired that because she was not like happy about me being a drag queen because she's seen pictures of me when I was in high school in drag. And she was like, you're not a pretty woman. I'm just telling you. I don't really know. If, But I was like, you wouldn't recognize me because Delicious painted me so fiercely.
Mm.
And she was like, are you telling me I wouldn't recognize my own child? Let me see the pictures now.
Yeah.
So she had me show her the pictures and she was just like, damn, you fucking look like me. And she sent she goes, "You fucking did that shit." Those were that's an exact quote, just so you know. "You fucking did that shit." And then she said, "Send me that picture. I'm going to send it to one of my cousins." She was like, "I'm going to send it to Claudia and ask her if she likes my new hairdo."
What did Claudia say?
I don't know any of that stuff.
It's like, "Yeah, but the nose job needs a little work."
Yeah. "Girl, you need to get your nose fixed." And then she went on to say, "Is this something that can happen?" I was like, and at the time I asked my friends, I was like, "How much does this pay?" And they gave me numbers that I never really ever got to. Well, I've gotten to them now. Like I have my own house. I mean, I don't own it, but I'm renting my own house. And I don't have roommates and I don't have any of that stuff. And
hallelujah.
I'm doing it all on drag, and that's a blessing. And she was like, "You should do it, but if you're gonna do it," and this is before RuPaul's Drag Race like had really popped off, I was like starting drag the year that the first Drag Race premiered, but I didn't even know that it existed yet, because I wasn't that kind of gay. And to this day, I'm pansexual, so like I was not really ever that kind of gay, who was like interested in all the stuff that's on MTV and all that kind of bullshit. I don't watch the Kardashians. I don't know anything about like what's hip right now. That's just never. I'm an opera queen. If it has to do with the opera, let's talk. But other than that,
did you like? Because I don't actually think people had really had like a much of a consciousness of RuPaul's Drag Race, even in like the gay quote unquote community when it first came out. It was such a niche thing. And I remember thinking it was Booger and Boo Boo and Stupid and Awful, because they had to like, you had to do your own campaign on social media, on Facebook, and like was so desperate and cloying. And I just like saw the girls around me and I'm like, "Y'all are making a fool of yourselves." And then Jujubee went on. I'm like, well,
nope, that was
let's try this. Yeah.
That was the season that it like really.
You would be so good on that damn show, bitch.
Yeah. Have you ever considered doing it or no?
I have. I would love to. I feel like when I'm ready, it'll happen.
Yeah. I think the only thing, you have all the talent and the beauty and the looks and stuff. It's, you just need whatever they say on that sheet of paper.
Yeah. You know, when it happens, when I am ready, it will happen. And I always feel like there's reasons why it doesn't happen. And every year I get so much better. So I'm like, well, it's good that this didn't happen here because, you know, I'm so much better now. Or
sure.
You know, but I'm not going to lie. I would love to do that show. It's something that I feel like it's the next level for me, just because I'm already, you know. And I don't want to be working around the country and not making working around the country money. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, of course.
Like, I can't be working around the country for like $100 or $150 just because I'm not on a television show. Right. And so I stay where I am because that's a lot of money, and it's a lot of traveling. It's a lot of tax. It's taxing on your body to be doing all that traveling. And I travel from here throughout Pennsylvania, throughout New Jersey, throughout New York State, well, at least the eastern part of New York State, and up to Boston, and you know, probably like I perform throughout this whole Northeast region,
right?
And even that's tiring and taxing.
Yes,
sure, yes. So, of course.
And I drive everywhere, and so it's just like I want to do it because it seems like the next way for me to be able to share my life philosophy and share my talents with people and just be kind to people. In a way that, like, sometimes I find girls that are just as kind, on these shows. But sometimes I'm like, it's a waste having you in this very high position because you're a fucking asshole.
We're just going to take a moment out from our chat with Safira to tell you all about the magic that you can find over at AdamandEve.com. As Adam and Eve likes to say, the best part of staying at home, it's playing at home. So whether you're having FaceTime sex or just some solo fun, get the accoutrement you need to maximize and enhance every aspect of your pleasure. Most of us are home a lot, so you want to have a good date night to yourself. Take advantage of the downtime, choose almost any one item at 50% off, and then when you do that, you're also going to get 10 free boredom-busting gifts, including 6 spicy movies. a three-piece bonus kit. And best of all, free shipping delivered discreetly right to your door. I mean, that is a wonderful thing. I don't know if that's the best thing. I think the best of all part is the sex toys that you take out of that package that's delivered discreetly to your door. But the key to all of this is using the special offer code. And of course, surprisingly, the offer code is WV. That's right. Use WV at checkout. Nothing makes being at home more enjoyable than the right sex toys. And you want to make sure that you have the full spectrum available to you because you never know what kind of mood's going to strike. You never know what kind of play you might be into that day. Find the perfect fit at AdamandEve.com. And when you go to AdamandEve.com, make sure you use that offer code WV. Yeah. Let's get into a little bit of your life philosophy, because I quoted one of your statements that I really liked a lot at the beginning. Could you elaborate on that a little? Let me just restate that one, because that was about 4 hours ago on the show. And there's no better exercise for the heart than reaching down to lift someone else up.
Is that a reach around, or is that
all of the above, right, honey?
Okay.
Like, honestly, it just helps. It feels good to help someone.
Yeah.
And it.
No one doesn't.
Just kidding. You've never tried, so you wouldn't know.
See, there you go.
No, it's true. It's true. It's counterintuitive for the selfish narcissist, i.e. me, but a problem shared is a problem cut in half.
Yeah.
So
like it really, and it makes you feel good. And like to continue on to just like, when I was a kid, my mother would wake me up every Saturday morning to go and feed the homeless. And as exhausted as I would be, it actually felt good to cook for these people. I learned to cook some of the things that I learned to cook that I'm like really great at. I learned how to cook a large amount of food. You know, it's just like, if you not only learn things usually when you're helping someone, but it just feels good to help people. And like all these people coming through who just need something to eat, I didn't see these people as homeless people. It was sort of like I was at school or something. Like these were just people who needed food, and and we were able to bring them something and make them feel like a normal person and not like someone that everyone was just looking down upon, someone that no one wanted to touch or no one wanted to give money to or no one wanted to be bothered by. And it's just like sometimes you have to put yourself aside, and as hard as that can be, it's also very rewarding, because when you were constantly only thinking about you, that is a very, very, very troubled mind. Like, we have to really put ourselves aside for a second and give to someone else. Whenever you're like, I'm super overwhelmed with all the things that are happening in my life, that's when you should just take off your hat, your me hat, and put your, and look for someone else to help, because that will take all that pressure off of you.
Can I take off my hat and put on somebody else's wig?
Yes. Especially if you style it for them or get it styled for them.
You don't have to cook, Brian. This is going to be helpful for you.
I have no problem helping the homeless or the houseless or the currently unhoused, but I draw the line at cooking.
Well, because also you're sparing them from having to eat the food that you cook, which I think is also being of service.
It's a benevolent act, yes.
That is of service right there, Mustang.
Yeah, I am prepared to fuck them, though.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen that too. yesterday I held an event on the Mr. America Facebook page. It was a fundraiser for the Self-Evident Project's Queer COVID Relief Fund. Oh. And they are, you know, they're taking in money. They sold all, they're just a photo project for the t-shirt that says we are all the same, or I'm just like you, or something like that.
Yeah.
And they took all their t-shirts, sold them all, and then donated all their money to people who just, they opened up a Queer COVID Relief Fund. They allowed people to apply for the fund, and then they just started writing checks, and they ran out of money. They had $25,000 or something like that, ran out of money. And they were like, we have to close down for now. And that was around the time that we saw it. And I said, we should give them money and try and help them, you know, get back to where they were, or at least like give them a good check. So Ms. America helped me, and they paid for all the talent to come in and, raise all this money, and then we are just giving all the money that we've raised to the Self-Evident Project's Queer COVID Relief Fund, which is wonderful. My thing is, like, we have to step up for each other. We have to be there for each other. If we're not doing well, if we're doing well enough to be able to help someone else who's not doing well, then just do it. Like, not only will it make you feel good, it'll help them. And guess what? That shit will come back to you. Like,
right.
You're not going to lose out by throwing out good energy into the world.
Yeah, I don't even think it like comes back. It just automatically absorbs. It's like it accumulates.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just for people who need a reason to help someone. You know?
I know. Yeah. But no, I swear it's going to be great. It's going to be great in 2 weeks. Yeah. You'll get a wonderful surprise.
Maybe not in 2 weeks, but the fucked up shit that could happen in your life probably won't happen because you've been so good to people. Yeah. And there are people who have been good and still have fucked up shit happen to them, but it's an opportunity for someone else to help them. And that's the thing. It's like we have, it's not as, you know, one way. What is it? Linear. It's not a linear thing. It is all around us. So we really have to just be there for each other, step up and show out for each other.
Step your pussy up and put your pussy in the wind.
Put your pussy in the wind.
I got to go eat some dinner, guys. I'm starving. I'm starving. Sphere, I want to tell you something. I miss you so much.
I miss you.
Will you call me on the telephone?
I'm not going to lie. I thought you were avoiding me when your phone choice.
No. That like I changed the number like 2 years ago when I went cuckoo, cuckoo. Yeah. So,
I literally thought I was like, she's
aren't
mad
you
at
on
me.
Twitter? Are you on Twitter?
Like barely, but yeah.
But now you have the numbers. Now everyone has the numbers, and
I have your number. Yeah.
I know, but are you on Instagram?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, blue nasty. I'll look you up. Okay.
Yeah, just the pure crystal. Which one is yours?
Katya _ Zamo with the blue check mark. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'll message you. I think I have your number now because we just did the text thing.
Okay.
Wait, perfect. Brian, before you go, do you want to do your intro?
Yes, I do. Oh, yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Please welcome to the stage, ladies and gentlemen. A blast from my past. She's full of sassafras, smokes a little grass. She is the complex multi-talents of the operatic multi-octave singer, songwriter, dancer, wiggler, wanderer, a diamond in the rough. Sapphira James Elizabeth Winston Ruby Crystal.
That was your full name, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. None of those were wrong. All of those are correct.
Yeah. Thank you. But speaking to the grass thing, you actually don't enjoy the grass or any substances anymore.
Oh, yeah. I'm sober since 20.
Oh, metaphor,
I stopped
mama.
Smoking grass. It started with, I was doing cocaine a lot. And I stopped doing cocaine in November of 2018, stopped smoking weed in December of 2018, and stopped drinking in January of 2019.
Get up, bitch.
Month to month, you were doing big things.
Yeah, I've decided to, and then I like broke up with my boyfriends in December as well.
Did that have something to do with it, by the way, your new condition of not being under the influence a lot?
I think I just like realized that it was time to try something different for my life. One of them broke up with us, actually, but then I broke up with the other.
Oh, thruple.
Yeah. But it was, you know, it's just, I decided that for drinking and for marijuana, I was going to take 2 years off. And so the 2 years is coming up soon. I just don't want to be so high up on those things as much. Like if I smoke weed or if I eat an edible, which I've decided I'm not going to smoke anymore just for my voice. I'm going to eat edibles. And if I eat them, I'm not going to eat a lot of them. And then for drinking, I'm going to hold myself to a 1 to 2 drink minimum. Yeah. Maximum.
Self-control.
Yeah. Because I think it's much easier to say I'm not going to do something than to actually control what your use.
I mean, it depends.
For me.
If you can go 2 years, bitch, girl, you got it.
Yeah.
So, Brian, do you need to take your exit now?
I do. So, with that, I would like to bid you both adieu.
I love you.
I love you. You look great, mama. Those bones.
You too.
Those cheeks. Bye.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining, Brian, and maybe we'll do it again sometime.
Oh, hi. This is Brooklyn Heights, the Queen of the North. I am a big fan of the show, and I was just sitting here, and something just popped into my head, and I just didn't know, so I thought I would ask. Are you gay? Because I can't really tell. and I can usually tell, but I can't tell with you. So, yeah, let me know. Bye.
You were in Rochester for how long?
I lived in Rochester for 2.5 years, 3 years.
And you loved it there, right? This is what you said before, like the yeah. vibe, everything with the people were great. So then what on earth drew you to Boston? Oh, wait, the music place.
School, yeah. It was always school that took me anywhere until right. I got to Boston where I got trapped because I got homeless.
Right, right. Now, what did you think of Boston in general? I mean, we kind of got an idea before.
Very white, detached. Like, everyone was, like, eyes down. Let's not look at anyone. Let's not talk to anyone. And sure. I being from Texas, and even Rochester is very, 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 at least where I was in Rochester was very like the South, actually.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. So, like, being from Rochester or being from Texas, I was used to saying hi to everyone that I, like, saw. But there were so many people on the street. The difference between the South and up there is that there's not a lot of people on the street in the South because everyone drives. And yeah. everyone, there's so many people on the street, it's kind of impossible to say hey to everyone you see.
Right. Sure. That's
so
true.
So, in that vein, it's fine. But, like, a good, like, nod of the head or something.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. People some just acknowledgement. Ignore you, like, yeah.
The funny thing is that when you would pass a black person, they would always give you the black nod. Like uh-huh. when black people see each other, they definitely give an acknowledgement to each other. But I think that should go for when any person sees another person,
yeah.
you should acknowledge their presence. And right. that's just not a thing that I ever saw in Boston. And I thought that, and I think that it was easier for, and it does make it easier to, you know, vilify someone when you don't really know them or you don't really want to get to know them and all this kind of stuff. So I felt like that was what made it kind of easier for me to be treated the way that I was treated as when I joined the drag world.
Right. Right. And did that kind of treatment continue throughout your entire tenure in Boston?
It got better. Katya literally was one of my favorite people, one right. of my favorite drag queens, but also just one of my favorite people. We actually hung out a lot.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't just drag.
Yeah.
It wasn't just like, it wasn't just us doing shows.
Right. It wasn't just a business thing. Yeah.
It wasn't just business. We are friends.
Yeah.
So like to be able to have someone who didn't look like me as not only a friend, but a champion of mine.
Yeah.
Because she put me in a show that no one else thought that I should have been in.
Uh-huh.
Based on the fact that they would not put me in their shows.
Gotcha.
You yeah. know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like, I'm in this show, this coveted spot. It like Perestroika was the show to go
oh,
to.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, definitely.
And to be in that show, and I wasn't always in the show, but I was in there enough times that people would expect me to be in a part of the cast.
Right, because there was kind of a rotation, right? It would be like
me or Fina.
That's right, yeah. And so, like, I think total, what was it like between 6 and 8 queens that would sort of be slotted in and out. Because then the folks who were there every time were Nicole Pride and Frida Fries and Katya.
And yeah. originally Becca the Bus. It was
that's just, right. Yes, that's right. Yes, yes, yes.
It was just yeah. a cast show. And then Becca left. And then they were like, well, what we have to do is we have to do something. And so I was in there. Fina was in there a couple of times.
Yeah.
I was in there enough times that people expected me to be there.
Right. Well, I remember you doing that amazing gospel number that I don't remember the name of, but it was one of my favorites.
I've done a lot of gospel music. So
yeah, we'll see that. I mean, I'm sure that wasn't the one gospel number you did. I just remember that's when I think first saw you. Then you did the Donna Summer Last Dance at Videodrome, which was
mm-hmm.
fantastic. Yeah, yeah, I love that because it was the live version and all the little ad libs and all that stuff. That's one of my favorite things when like a live version is done and done so
yeah, that's
well.
One of my favorite that's one of my favorite things to do is be able to do the ad libs. I think that is the most important part about being a drag queen is like, I don't want to see a karaoke queen. I don't want to see like someone who's just singing the chorus when the main singer, who is who you're supposed to be embodying at the moment,
yeah.
is going, whoa, you know, doing all this dramatic stuff that I want to see you embody.
Right.
But you're doing, I'm every woman. Like,
yeah, just kind of walking through it.
We can sing that. You can. What are you going to do? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It drew me to drag because seeing so many people do it and do it subpar. And I'm one of those people who's like, you can't just talk about something. Either you can do it better or you can just shut up.
Yeah.
So I figured I'd just do it better or do it my way. That way I wouldn't. Yeah. And then when I do talk about people and they say, well, let me see you do it better. And I say, well, turn on the song.
What drew you to Philly? Was it, again, another school situation or what was the situation?
Okay, so in Provincetown, yeah, we got stopped by the whole bathroom thing. In Provincetown, after audition, during that whole time, I met my partner for 4.5 years.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. Gotcha.
That's when we met. And he said, you can move back to Brooklyn or you can come and live with me in Philadelphia and pay a fraction of the rent.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. Because, right, in between, you went to New York, which we mentioned earlier. But, yeah, you were in New York for about a year, something?
I was 9 months.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And then you had the baby. So that's
yeah,
what
the... Yeah, then I had the baby. Yeah. And the baby's name was Audition. No. I went to, and did the audition thing. And that's when I had my real falling out with Ryan Landry, where someone told him that I was trying to, you know, poach people from his show and bring them to audition, which was a lie. I had no desire doing that. I actually told everyone, I actually said nothing at the show because he asked me not to, so I didn't.
Yeah.
But there was someone out there doing that and I was in the presence. So I'm sure someone drunkenly heard something and made it up that I was the one saying it, but this is what happens when you surround yourselves with addicts.
and also the high drama that goes on and like, oh, what, you mean someone who's doing a talent night was trying to get other people who do talent nights to come over? You know what I mean? Like,
this is what happens when you surround yourself with alcoholics who like are fueled by your drama and you make them feel like that, like
you're tied into the, like, you're important because you're giving some kind of like juicy tidbit.
Yeah. Yeah. So they gave you this juicy tidbit that wasn't true. And he said some very hurtful things to me.
Yeah.
He messaged me some very hurtful things and then blocked me on Facebook. And I was like, cool. Thanks. You just rescued me from your fucking toxic personality.
Right. I don't have to go there anymore. Yeah.
Oh, yay. I've had a great life since. And then me and my partner decided to move back to Philadelphia. He had already had a place here. And so I just moved in with him. I established myself by doing competition here. I won the competition.
Which competition? What was the first one?
It's called Miss Everything.
Uh-huh.
And it no longer exists, but at the time it was the show, that and Drag Wars. But I didn't do Drag Wars because I just didn't have the time. I barely had the time to do Miss Everything because when I came back, I was working in New York and all around this region. So I was going up and down from New York to here all the
time. Yeah, sure.
And so I did what I could. I still won with doing like what I could. Like one of the weeks I had to miss because I was on Watch What Happens Live with Angela Bassett. So I was like, I think I'm good. I'm going to be on TV. And I'll be back. And then they were like, well, you have to lip sync for your life because you were in the bottom because you missed last week. And I was like, whatever. And I won the whole competition, which was 10 weeks. So
worked out just fine.
Yeah, I was fine. So I just did a lot when I got here to establish myself as who I was. And I was pretty established as a queen and as a talent. So all I had to do was show it. And then I just got booked a lot and just worked a lot. I joined the Philly's Foxes. Here in, which is just a group of girls who are all really talented and really foxy. I perform in New York City all the time. Well, did before we were quarantined.
Well, sure, yeah. And like once we get back to normal, I'm sure this is all gonna.
I'm sure we'll get back even better.
Yes, that's right. That's a very good way to look at it.
That's how I look at it. I've actually been doing quite well during the quarantine. I've been a little stressed, but you know. You can only be so stressed. Like, ain't nothing happening. Ain't nobody doing nothing. So you have two options. You can be stressed or not.
Yeah, that's true. Well, do you ever find yourself slipping into the very stressed and then, like, working your way back? Do you have a sort of system to combat that? Because, I mean, in these times, I find that, like, you know, I'm a generally, like, fairly optimistic, can-do kind of person. But I find that the moods sometimes get out of my control. So does that happen with you as well?
I'm going to have to say yes, just because I am human and I'm sure it happens, but I'm one of the people who has a lovely memory that suits me and it does not let me remember things that really hurt me a lot. So
that's good. Yeah.
So if I'm feeling stressed at a moment, that's just a moment. It's really just then and there that it happens. And I'm usually pretty goldfishy in that way that I'm like, oh, yay, I'm happy again. Because, you know, I feel like it's necessary for you to be actively not stressed. Like, uh-huh. Just to go, okay, this is happening, but literally there is nothing I can do about it.
Okay, sure. Right.
So surrender, I have the option of stressing out about some shit that I can't help, or I can just watch some fucking TV, or like, you know, like this is not changing.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean don't do everything you can to change whatever you can. If you can do something, do it.
Yeah.
But also do it knowing that you're doing the work, and that if you're doing the work, why are you stressing?
Right. Like things will eventually get back to or surpass whatever you had before, but you just have to keep plugging away at whatever you're doing. You can't just sort of crumble because everything is a nightmare right now. Right.
When you're letting the anxiety get a hold of you, then you're not doing the work that you need to be doing. On the other hand, if you just sit around and do nothing because you've let the anxiety get a hold of you and you're like, I'm not letting that happen, then you're also not doing the thing that you need to be doing. So you just need to do the thing that you need to be doing. Don't stress about it. And the less stress you have about it, then the more you'll actually be able to get done as well.
Yeah.
And I think that like most people who have anxiety issues, which I have suffered from for a long time, have been convinced that yes, anxiety exists, which is true, but you can control the way that you deal with it. And people have been convinced that, you know, if there's some anxiety you just can't control, there's some physical representations that you can't control at that moment.
Sure.
But you can control all the things that happen in your mind.
And also sometimes, you're going to lose the battle for the day or the hour or whatever. But I think what you were saying also, it sounds to me like, you know, acknowledging that and then sort of even sitting in the mood and then knowing, okay, well, I'm having one of those days. That's important too, right?
Yes. You don't want to ignore what's happening because that's saying that something isn't happening that's definitely happening.
Right.
You definitely want to acknowledge. You want to name it. Say, this is happening. You that are that is happening, you're not going to control me today. I can hear you right now. I see you over there.
Yeah.
But what we're doing is this. And what I'm going to do is this. And what I need to do for myself is that if I need to call in to the people about my unemployment, then I need to call into the people about my unemployment. If it's that I need to call my you know, insurance and have them turn off the direct deposit because or turn off the automatic payment because I can't afford it this time, then I need to do that. And guess what? Because we're all going through a pandemic. This is pandemic specific.
Yeah.
Because we're all going through a pandemic. They understand that. And they will figure that out because they know that they're having difficulties and other people are having difficulties. If they weren't going to do that, then what's the point of having fucking insurance? You know, like,
right.
It's called insurance. So this is the best time to ensure that you will be taken care of.
Well, it's a good point, too, to point out, like you said, to not let the terror then influence how you handle things or to prevent you from making the call that might seem scary because you're in an anxiety moment or something like that. Just like, you know, let it wash over you, but then do whatever it is that you need to do to take care of it. You know, like don't avoid looking at your bank account. Look at it. Like that sort of.
Yes. Thing. Yes. Look at that. I want to stress the naming what is stressing you.
Sure.
Name it. Say you over there and talk to it. Is great, but it's easy to be afraid of things that you don't know what they are.
Right.
You can't identify them. But when you name it, you can name it Susie. You can name it whatever name you want to.
Yeah.
But you just name it something and you talk to it and then you'll find that stress that you had that was so high about this thing that's just so looming will go away.
Right.
And you won't be as stressed as you were before because
it's not as abstract anymore.
Also. It's not as abstract. It's not this big looming thing. It's Susie. And Susie's not that scary.
That's right. Right. We know about Susie. She knows that much. Yeah, she's not. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, and ultimately all these things, they're not doing anything. It's just the fear of the unknown. And when you don't know what it is, it can be a little scary. Name it.
Yeah. Well, I think that's terrific advice, and it's really good because, yeah, when you don't, also when you avoid stuff and it just seems to pile on. But like you said, if you don't do the work, whatever it is that you're supposed to be doing, then that can just further lead to more terror because you're further disengaging yourself from the thing that you do.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's a beautiful note to close on, and I look forward to speaking to you again. It's been lovely chatting with you again.
It's been lovely chatting with you.
Fabulous.
I'm like looking at you. You look like a whole different person.
I know. Oh, no. I know. Yeah, I was totally. Yeah, I was not in my final form when you knew me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of changes. A lot of good changes. Yeah.
Yes. Lovely. I'm like you and Katya. I was just both like, look at y'all.
Oh, that's sweet. That's
California
so sweet.
Air is really treating y'all good.
That's all I needed. I just need a little bit of, you know, little sunlight and, you know,
and sea salt in the air.
Yeah, exactly.
Can I tell you what? When I lived in Provincetown, it was the same way. Like, my skin was just gorgeous, glowing all the time. That sea salt in the air, it really helps.
That's what it is, and a certain encouraging atmosphere, I think.
Yeah. Good to see you, honey.
It's great to see you, and we'll talk soon.
Yes, be okay. Well.
Bye-bye.
Treat yourself right and head on over to patreon.com/Craig and Friends. Look at the reward tiers, see which one jumps out at you that you desire the most, and then just go for it. Grab life by the suspenders and pull at patreon.com/Craig and Friends.